Their leadership tends to be lay rather than clerical. Like many Islamic revivalist organizations in the 20th century, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, their holistic or comprehensive understanding of Islam fosters social and political activism, often challenging the political and religious establishment. Though their advocacy of reinterpretation and change takes them well beyond conservatives, in reality, their Islamic discourse and ideology are less innovative than Islamic reformers or modernists, and thus they have often proven less progressive, though not always, in particularly sensitive areas like Islamic law, the status of women and minorities. Islamic reformers, though they overlap at times with some mainstream fundamentalists or more progressive fundamentalists, are more liberal or open to substantive change and to borrowing from other cultures. Like fundamentalists, they root their reforms in normative Islamic sources, the Quran and Sunnah, and are not wedded to classical Islamic law. They distinguish, in other words, between the divine element in Islamic law, the formulation of Islamic law, and the human interpretation. However, their approach to change is more substantive or fundamental. They distinguish more sharply between substance and form, between the principles and values of Islam's immutable revelation and the historically and socially conditioned practices and institutions that can and should, they believe, be changed to meet contemporary conditions. The heart of a modernist approach gets at the core issue in contemporary Islamic reformism, the relationship of the divine to the human in Islamic law. In the terminology of classical jurisprudence, they focus on the need to distinguish between the Sharia, God's divinely revealed law, and fiqh, human understanding and interpretation, an application that is historically conditioned. These reformers go further than fundamentalists in their acceptance of the degree and extent to which enshrined classical formulations of law may be changed. They place more emphasis on the finite nature of early doctrines or formulations. Just as jurists applied the principles and values of Islam to their societies in the past, they argue that again today, a new reinterpretation or reconstruction of Islam is needed. Many reformers, after an early traditional or Islamic education, have obtained degrees from major national and international universities in the Muslim world and in the West, combining an appreciation of Islam with modern disciplines and knowledge. Islamic reform is evident in the current debate over key issues like the relationship of Islam to the state, political participation or democratization, reform of Islamic law, promoting religious and political pluralism. Muslim experiments have run the gamut from conservative monarchies like Saudi Arabia to more radical approaches in Libya, Sudan, and Iran. From mainstream Islamic social and political activism, working within society, creating schools, hospitals, providing social services, participating in elections across the Muslim world, Egypt, Turkey, Indonesia, to violent revolutionaries who try to topple governments and impose authoritarian versions of Islamic rule. Two essential questions face Muslim communities as they define the relationship and relevance of Islam to their lives. And I think Jews and Christians and other believers can associate with these generic questions. Who's Islam and what Islam? Who's Christianity? What Christianity? Who's Judaism? What Judaism? Who's Islam? Who has the authority to interpret Islam? And what are the relevant and acceptable interpretations of Islam for today's world? As in the past, both the ulama, the religious scholars of Islam, and Muslim rulers continue to assert their right to protect, defend, and interpret Islam. The ulama remain persistent in regarding themselves as the guardians of Islam, the conscience of the community, its only qualified interpreters. They continue to write religious commentaries, run schools and universities, seminaries, and promote their ideas, not only through publications, but also increasingly through the use of modern media and technology. Many rulers, through co-option and coercion, combine their obligation to protect and promote Islam with the state's power to influence, control, and promote an acceptable brand of Islam, their brand of Islam. Governments control and distribute funds used to build mosques, pay the salaries of religious officials and functionaries, approve the topic or outline for the Friday mosque sermon, appoint religious leaders and judges.